Well, welcome to the final week of our series on how to be happy. As we've been saying, living your best life begins with making good choices. And so far, we've talked about five important choices that are the building blocks of a happy life. We said you have to have the right foundation, a life grounded on faith and not fear. You also have to have the right heart, an attitude filled with generosity instead of selfishness. You have to have the right center in your life, a willingness to cast your cares on God and allow Him to carry your burdens instead of always trying to manage everything on your own. You have to adopt the right perspective, a mindset of hope instead of negativity. And last week we said that happy people wait patiently, believing that God is going to bring the right harvest at the right time, because God's time is always the right time. Today we're going to talk about one last choice for happiness, and this is the one you've been looking for all along. I want to talk with you today about the right treasure. When I was a child, my mother, like I'm sure yours did, took me to the doctor at least once a year for a checkup. And I remember in the waiting room — you're probably too young for this, most of you — but in the waiting room, there were these colorful children's magazines called Highlights. And I loved playing the games in those magazines as I was waiting for my name to be called. My favorite was the hidden pictures page. The object of that game was to find ordinary items like a comb or a toothbrush or a banana cleverly concealed in that picture. And I would search that page from top to bottom carefully, trying to find the hidden items, and was thrilled when I found one. Maybe that's why stories about pirates and buried gold and secret clues never seem to go out of style. Deep down, there's something in us that loves the idea of finding something valuable. We all want to find the right treasure in life. We're all searching for some hidden treasure we believe is going to bring us happiness. The question is, what kind of treasure are you looking for? Some people spend their whole lives chasing after wealth and success, the party scene, a comfortable lifestyle. Others keep trying to find the fountain of youth. They're researching all the latest anti-aging trends and trying to stave off the inevitable with grueling fitness routines and daily moisturizing rituals and sometimes even regular Botox treatments. A 40-year-old friend of mine recently admitted that she tapes her face at night. Have you heard of this? Taping your face at night. She swears she wakes up with smoother skin. I'm going to try it, and we're going to take a before and after picture. I'll let you decide how it works out. Some people make worry their treasure. Somehow they get something out of constantly fretting about virtually everything. And other people, they would do practically anything to win the approval of their friends and neighbors. They wear themselves out trying to keep all the plates spinning so they'll be loved and accepted. But the real treasure is not greater affluence. It is not looking younger. It's not having fewer problems, and it's definitely not pleasing other people. It's something far greater. The hidden treasure we should all be looking for is nothing less than the kingdom of God growing in our lives. That's the right treasure. After my father passed away, I moved in with my mother for a while to help her with the difficult transition. And every day I would come home from work and shoot a few hoops. We had this old basketball goal in the backyard. And you know me with athletics, I wasn't very good, missed most of the shots, but it was a great way to blow off steam. Well, one day a 13-year-old boy wandered over from across the street. His parents had recently been divorced, and he lived with his mother and didn't see his dad very often. Today, he's a successful doctor, but over time, we became friends. So I asked him, or he asked me, if I wanted to play a game of basketball. And of course, I stupidly said yes. Stupidly because, of course, I lost that game and every other game after that. He was so good at it, and I was terrible. But despite that, we did become friends over time, and our bond grew, and he became like the younger brother that I never had, and I became like his big brother. We had a great bond. And as I said today, he's living in Florida. He's a successful doctor, has a family of his own, and we're still staying in touch from time to time. But after a few months, Donnie said that he wanted to get a dog and asked if I would drive him to the pet store to get one. Well, I love dogs, so I said I would. And we looked at all the cute puppies in that store, and we finally decided on this really sweet miniature dachshund, you know, one of those little wiener dogs. It was all of 3 pounds sopping wet. Well, we took him home, and Donnie was so happy when he got out of the car, he practically skipped back home across the street. 5 minutes later, the doorbell rang. It was Donnie standing there with the puppy and a long face. I said, "What's wrong?" He said his mother took one look at that puppy, pointed to the front door, and yelled, "Out!" And she made it clear in no uncertain terms that that dog would never be allowed in her house. Well, it was then I realized I had made a big mistake. I didn't know anything about kids back then. I figured Donnie had already gotten his mother's permission to have a dog. So I'm looking at this into the big, adorable puppy eyes of this little dachshund, and I know I can't return him. So I named him Vladimir, big name for a little dog, Vladimir. And he became my constant companion and friend. Every night, he would greet me when I came home. He would love me when I felt lonely. He would support me when I was down. He moved across the country with me, like back and forth several times. Lots of road trips. He's been on an airplane more than most people. He probably has lots of miles racked up by now. I don't know how I can tap into that. But anyway, he was there for me also many years later. He carried me through the most difficult season of my life. Well, one day I came home and Vladimir was lying on the kitchen floor, and like he always did, and I called him, but he didn't get up. I came a little closer. I figured he was sound asleep, and I called him again, but he still didn't move. And when I leaned over to pet him, that's when I realized my faithful friend had passed away. I know some of you have experienced that too. I cried so hard because I knew I had just lost one of the greatest treasures of my life. I just lost one of the greatest treasures of my life. But you know, just like Donnie's mother could not see the value of that small puppy, you and I often spend too much time and energy going after the wrong things in life because we can't see the true value of the priceless treasure God wants to give us. But when you take the time to discover the hidden treasure God has waiting for you, something amazing happens. You also begin to discover the treasures that God has hidden in you. Wisdom you didn't know you had. Courage you never imagined. A vocation you had overlooked. Gifts you had never activated. And a life of meaning and purpose you never expected. This is what happened to King Solomon in the scripture. When he was a young man, he inherited the throne of his father David. And one night, God came to him in a dream and said, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. Solomon could have asked for riches, a long life, peace from his enemies. But instead, he recognized the value of receiving the far greater gift that God was ready to offer him. So Solomon said, "I am but a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people who you have chosen, a people so vast it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong." Solomon gave up gold and silver, power and dominion, health and longevity to ask for what every ruler should seek: wisdom. Wisdom. God granted his request and said, "I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will come no one to equal you." What motivated Solomon to seek wisdom before anything else? What inspired him to pass up more superficial gifts that most people would have asked for or wanted? It's because Solomon had already found the greatest treasure in the world, a loving relationship with the Most High God. Scripture says, "Solomon loved the Lord." And obeyed the statutes of his father David. Solomon had already discovered the true treasure of God's friendship, and that gave him enough wisdom to ask for the right gift. And because he wanted God's kingdom before anything else, God awakened the treasure that had been in Solomon all along and gave him everything else he did not ask for: riches, glory, and a long life. Here's the key. When you seek the right treasure in life, go after the hidden fortune, pursue what so many other people ignore, God is going to bring to life your hidden gifts in ways you never could have imagined. This is why Jesus once said to his disciples, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given you besides." If you want to discover the hidden treasure in you, if you want the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, I could use that, the patience of Job, the kindness of Christ, the passion of Paul, or the sanctity of the saints, you have to recognize the value of God's kingdom and be willing to seek that kingdom before anything else. And that's when you will begin to discover all those treasures that God has hidden in you. In today's gospel, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and then goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls, and when he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has to buy it. Both men saw the value of the treasure they found. Both men recognized the treasure, and they were willing to sacrifice everything for it. They didn't go away depressed or complaining about what they had given up. They were happy for the trade, because when you find the real hidden treasure in life, everything else suddenly pales by comparison. If you want what truly matters, you can't stay comfortable with what doesn't. If you want the greatest treasures, you can't settle for what's less. If you want God to activate the hidden gifts in you, you have to be willing to put everything else on the line and seek first the kingdom of God. Growing up, I know it sounds funny and strange, but growing up, I always had this feeling that I was supposed to be up in front of people speaking. I didn't know how that would happen or what I would talk about, but there was just this feeling inside of me that told me that's what I was supposed to do with my life one day. It didn't make sense, though, because the odds were against me. See, from the time I was a little boy, I had developed a speech impediment. I couldn't say my S's in the right way, still can't. And the experts said I had what's called a lazy tongue. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know where it came from or how it happened. I just knew I was embarrassed. But my parents didn't have the resources, you know, to hire a speech pathologist. My school didn't have one. So I just lived with it and did the best that I could. Well, many years later, when I became a priest, I spent a lot of time practicing to say Mass. I don't know if you realize it, but there are a lot of S's in the Mass. I asked Claude to count the number of S's in the Mass, but it didn't quite work out. But I know there are a lot of S's in the Mass. I can't tell you how long it took me to finally get it right, but I knew it mattered because it was for God's kingdom. And that's when God unlocked a hidden treasure in me. Today, I speak to over 1,000 people every weekend. It's my joy and greatest honor to stand here in church and to come into your homes and preach the gospel. I spend hours and hours every week rehearsing my homilies, trying to make them just right, practicing my S's over and over again, because I know what's at stake every Sunday. Nothing less than the greatest of all treasures, Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Don't settle for costume jewelry when God has a pearl of great price waiting for you. Don't keep looking for fool's gold when God has true treasure prepared for you. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about how to be happy by having the right foundation, the right heart, the right center, the right perspective, and waiting for the right time. But all those choices ultimately point to one greater choice, the choice to seek the right treasure. Because when you discover the true value of God's kingdom, that's when you will discover the value of all the treasures that God has hidden in you. You want to be happy? Find the right treasure. Seek first the kingdom of God.